This is not strange. It may be strange to you, but this is not strange. What we've been doing for years is strange. The Bible says that when you seek me with all your heart, then you'll find me. And that's what's happening today. People are coming to God, seeking him with all their heart. Unbridled, free, just to lift your voice up to the Lord. Let's pray. Jesus, we come before you today. Come on, lift up your voice. Father, we worship and adore you, Lord Jesus. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit would move unhindered in this place, God. Have your way in every heart, Lord. Touch and make whole. Break off the things that are on us, Father. Lord, we seek you with all of our heart, Father. Lord, I pray, Lord, today, Lord, not one person would leave sick. Not one person would leave still in bondage, God. That every one of us, Father, would find you, Lord, today as we seek you with all of our heart. Father, reveal yourself to us. Let your Holy Spirit break off anything that's ungodly in our life, Father. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Your way is better. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I bless your name. I bless your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. This week the Lord gave me some specific instructions for this service, and I've been nervous about it all week, quite honestly, because the Lord said that he wanted me to lay hands on people and that he was going to deliver people. So I have got a short sermon, which is a miracle of God, right? And, so you saw your first miracle, if it comes about. And then we're going to just have another time of prayer, and we're going to pray and break some things off in the Spirit of God. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to pray, but I don't break anything off. But the Lord will do it through us. And so you may be seated for the moment. Jason is going to come before you. As you can tell, he's having his own private little revival back here behind me. So he is. He took the youth to Asbury this last week, last Saturday. And so he's going to tell you a little bit about that experience, and then I'm going to come up and I'll preach a short sermon, and I want to just bring two or three very clear points to you, and I want you to receive it, and just let's go free today in Jesus' name.
I got so many things just going through my spirit right now. God, I just pray my words are your words, God. My heart is your heart. Lord Jesus. And we serve a good, good Father. As Pastor said last Saturday, we, out of a whim, just decided we were going to try to get the youth together to go to Asbury. Didn't know what to expect. Just knew something was happening, and we wanted to be a part of it. We got there, and we saw this massive crowd, all the cars, the long lines, and we were like, dear God, you're doing something. You're doing something to bring this many people together, Lord. So we dropped the kids off. I did, because there was nowhere to park. Had to park at least a good half mile away to get back to them. And when I got back, couldn't find them anywhere. Text Carla, like, where you at? They were all praying and stuff, and I'm looking and trying to find them. Finally, she and me got together, and it was just such a sweet, sweet atmosphere. I mean, I can't explain it other than it's to me what I think a glimpse of heaven would be like. Just people freely worshiping. You felt the glory of God. You felt just freedom. And as we worshiped. You felt God asking to pray. The kids did. I was kind of more laying back, observing for a while. And they started praying for each other. A lady came up randomly, prayed for them. Another lady came up to me and said, "Hey, your youth group, is that your youth group?" And I was like, "Yeah." She said, "I just love how they worship and pray for each other. Do you mind praying for us?" I was like, "Sure." And she had a granddaughter named Bella who had a brain tumor. And we pressed in, prayed for her. It was just, you know, we were singing different worship songs. One time they started singing in Spanish, and it was "How Great Is Our God." It's like, "Hey, I know this song. You sing it in Spanish, I'll sing it in English, and it's just going to give God the glory. It don't matter, right?" And I was like, "Man, this is what heaven's going to be like. You know, just it don't matter. We're just all going to be singing to God." And it was cold that day. We were bundled up real good. And as it got dark, we never could get into the chapel. So we decided at one point to go to the gymnasium where they were having another session. And in that session, it's like it didn't matter. God was there too. Everywhere we went, God was there. And I'll speed this up a little more. We finally made it to Carl's church and stayed that night in the their life center. The boys had to sleep on the floor. The girls got the lush carpet apartment upstairs. But it was good. The floor was a little cold, but that's all right. We woke up early the next morning with early morning service, and God was just really stirring my heart. And the way that revival started in Asbury was about repentance, and God dealt that with me. And I let it all out. God just told me, "You've been complacent. You've been like a Martha." He compared that story to me about Martha and Mary. You know, you're more worried about what you're doing and not about the thing that matters in worship. And that just convicted me, and I hit my knees and just prayed out to God, and God gave me my hunger back. I mean, I got this hunger in my heart that is like I don't never want to go back, you know. And you think about all these people that came to Asbury, that came wanting a touch of God. There was people we heard stories of that sold their car in Brazil so they could take an airplane to America to get to this revival. And it made me think, you know, God, where is our hunger at for that? You know, that we'd be willing to give up to get that much closer to you. And just conviction after conviction, God just kept. And I needed that, because he took me to the story of the 10 virgins with their lamps, you know. And, you know, you need to have your oil ready, right? And at the same time, there was this part he told me, it's up, you know, they trimmed their wicks. They trimmed their wicks for so they could burn brighter. And your wick is burning, Jason, but you need to burn brighter. And it's just like, man, conviction after conviction. You think, man, that sounds bad, but it's good. It's good to get those things exposed, and it's good to get those things right lined up with God. Me and Dalton were talking the other day about narrows the path. It's like, yeah, it is. And sometimes, you know, our compasses, they'll, you know, if you're on a boat, your compass will kind of bounce. And sometimes we get a little distracted with life. We get a little distracted with things. And we just need to get our compass back lined up with God. And I think that's what God's trying to tell the church. You know, it's time to stop playing church, and it's time to start being the church. It's time to start standing up. And, you know, I told the kids, you know, it's not comfortable for me at all to come up here and do this. And God did this to me the other day too. Me and Tom was talking, but was it comfortable on the cross? And I was like, God, why are you convicting me so many things? Yeah, you're right. It is hard, God, but yeah, it wasn't as hard as the cross. And I'm so thankful what he did. I pray this thing just takes off. It takes discipline. God told me this, Jason, you're going to be like Daniel. You're going to have to purpose in your heart. You know, these little things, whether it's coming home after a tired day and I just want to veg and watch TV. It happened to me this week. I was good right up till about after Wednesday and Thursday came along. And had a little bit of a hard day. And I was like, man, I just want to turn TV on. Felt my spirit. You want to do that? You want to read the Bible? Okay, God. You know, but that's good. I need that. And I need that. I want more of him. I want more of him. I want all of him. And like the song says, I have to make room. And if I don't empty out some of these things that don't matter, they're not sins. They just don't matter. And if I don't get those things out of the way, then I can't get as close to God as I want to be. And that's what Asbury did for me. It's what God did for me. And I'm so thankful for it. Like I said, I don't ever want to go back to the way I was. I don't ever want to catch myself falling asleep or being lax with God. I want to press in, push in, and have all of Him. So, if any of you guys want to come up to talk, or are y'all leaving it all to me? Going once? Twice?
Well, I don't really know what all to say, but what I can say is just going there, like, we were all, well, on the bus, we were all just, like, tired. We were, like, about to fall asleep. But as soon as we got there, seeing everything, we just, like, that stuff didn't matter. Like, we saw, like, just an endless line, like, just to get into, like, different places. And I was saying to him this morning, like, after saying, like, after, like, we were talking about it the whole, for the whole morning, and I was like, you know, seeing all that, people waiting that long to get in, that's true dedication to the Lord right there. And it was just like, you just walk in and you immediately know that God's there. And we never actually went inside. Most of our time was outside, but it was still just as good because they had like the screen out there and all that. And it was just constant worship, and it was very calming, and it was just, it was amazing, like Jason said, and all like pain or tiredness or anything, it didn't affect us there. We were just filled with Him there, and I believe that revival kind of happened here this morning, a little bit of that too, and I'm thankful for that, for them, for Jason. Yeah.
Amen. A building cannot contain our God, right? Amen. When people are hungry. Amen. Going to have an annual business meeting on April 2nd and March 25th. We're going to have Reignite. The walking club is going to start, I believe, this Saturday again on Saturday mornings at 8:30. Amen. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, we're going to read verses 18 through 25. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Says, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you who through him believed in God who raised him from the dead and gave him glory so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because he quotes Isaiah 40, I believe. All grass, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower fades away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Jesus, we come before you today. Lord, we're so thankful for another opportunity, Lord, to allow the Spirit of God to touch us, revive our heart. And Father, possibly, Lord, bring us into this great salvation that you have for us. God, I pray that every one of us in this building would become hungry for more of you, Lord Jesus, that we would never be satisfied with where we're at or what we've been taught in the past. But God, move us closer, Lord, to you, Father. Let the Spirit of the Lord lead and guide us into an arena, into an area, Lord, that we've never been before. Father, I know, Lord Jesus, that your heart for us is so great, Lord. Your love for us is so great. Lord, I thank you, Lord, you have given us the privilege, Lord, become sons of God. And Lord, now you want to do something exciting in us as your sons. Something powerful, Lord, so that this world can see how good you are. So Lord, today we yield ourselves to you. And Father, I pray, God, that you would break off things in each one of our lives, Father. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I read this statistic this week and it really bothered me. It says 41% of Americans believe that the Bible, the Quran, and the Book of Mormon express the same divine truth. That is not true. 41% of Americans believe that it's all the same. It's not. The Bible is the Word of God. It's alive, it's sharp, it's active, it's able to divide, Lord, spirit and sunder, Lord, just come into our heart with that Word and just bring life to us. So Psalms 103 verse 4 says He redeems our life from destruction. One version says from the pit. And so that's the first thing that I noticed that this scripture is saying, that we have been redeemed. And redeemed is not necessarily a word that we use real often. The picture, the mental picture that it's showing is that it's a slave that's being purchased out of slavery to go free. And that's redemption. And whether you know it or not, Jesus has purchased you out of slavery to sin. We don't often think about that. People don't like to realize or to think that we were not our own. Everybody thought they were doing their own thing, right? You wasn't. You were doing Satan's thing. When you're not following God, you are following Satan. There's no other way around it. So what does redemption mean? What does redeemed mean? It means the same thing as salvation. Deliverance. Deliverance. Now I want you to think about this. Because if you're like me, you know a lot of people that claim salvation that's still addicted. I'm not talking about drugs or alcohol. I'm talking about all of it. We're just addicted to our old way of life. And I just believe that Jesus wants something better for us. He doesn't want us to be sons and daughters so that we can live the same way we used to live. I'm amazed at how we justify sin in our life. But that's not God's best for us. It says we've been redeemed by a price, and it's with incorruptible things. And then he says it's not with stuff like gold and silver. And I'm thinking, hey, gold and silver's not all that bad, you know? And then you think about it from the Lord's perspective, and gold is his asphalt, right? I mean, it's not a high commodity in heaven. But you know what is a high commodity? The blood of Jesus. Priceless. It means it cannot be corrupted. It cannot be bribed. You cannot get into the kingdom any other way than through the blood of Christ. Right? You can't sweet talk yourself in there. You can't intellectually get yourself into the throne room of heaven unless you go through the blood. There's one way. And that's through Jesus Christ. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as one man, through one man's sin, entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all have sinned. I'd like to blame this on Adam, wouldn't you? It's all Adam's fault, but I've got news for you. It's my fault. How about you? I got myself into a lot of mess. I'm sort of reading this a little bit backwards, but start off with Romans 5:12. Then I want to go to verse 18. He says, therefore, as though one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. We were already condemned. That's why Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world. Why? We were already condemned. Right? He says, even so, through one man's righteous act, The free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. So he adds another weird word, justification. Justification is a term that comes out of the judicial system. It's a word that maybe you would hear lawyers say. Justification means God didn't set your sin aside. See, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. Right? So every time you sin, there's a payday coming. And I got news for you, child of God. It includes you. So Christians that keep on sinning, I want you to know there's a payday for that. See, we're not exempt. You keep drinking even though you claim to be a child of God. You keep drinking and cirrhosis of the liver may happen to you because that's a payday for that sin. There are certain things that's going to happen naturally, but Jesus paid the price for these things. We can be redeemed. But the end of this thing says, purify yourself. Uh-oh. You mean I got a part to play in this? Absolutely you do. So he says that results in justification. And then I want to go back to verse 1. He says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what every one of us want, right? We want peace. We want to be able to lay our head down on a pillow at night and know whether I wake or whether I don't, I win either way. Right? No matter what happens in this life, I win. So we're not redeemed with corruptible things. It cannot be corrupted. It cannot be bribed. But the last definition of incorruptible means it's everlasting. See, when you get saved, it's everlasting. Forever. It's here on this earth, and it's going to take you to heaven to live forever in the presence of God. It lasts forever. He says, what are we redeemed from? Most of us know we're redeemed from our sin. Thank you, Lord. He breaks off addictions. But he goes on and he says something that I think is probably more relevant to us than the other. We're redeemed from the tradition of men. From those things that have been taught to us, the Bible says the tradition of men make the word of God no effect. See, a lot of us have been taught wrong doctrine. I have spent several minutes, hours this week talking to people about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they have a problem with it. Which I don't understand, because have you ever read the book of Acts? Have you ever read the verse that says God's the same yesterday, today, and forever? I just don't get it how we think he starts one way and he stops when it was so powerful. So how do we miss it? We've been taught wrong. We've been taught that ended. It's the tradition of our fathers who thought they were teaching us right. It goes right back to the Pharisees who kept preaching tradition and kept preaching legalism. And it wasn't freeing anybody until Jesus came and says, I want to free you from that. See, there are things that mama taught you that you need to get free from. Well-meaning. Your mama probably loved you. I think sometimes I can remember one of the very first times I taught a group of kids in Dexter, Missouri, and I taught them that it's a lack of faith to ask God something for more than once. I cannot tell you how many times I beat myself up for that. And I keep saying, God, I hope they forget that. Don't let that fall into their heart. Lord, let those words fall, bear no fruit. It's a doctrine that happened to come around in the 80s that was wrong. But somehow I linked onto it. Do you realize? Yeah, you know, sometimes we just need to get before the Lord and say, God, anything that's not of you, would you just erase it? You know, it's difficult to learn. It's more difficult to unlearn. We, in this congregation, we got people out of all kinds of walks of life. We're all a little bit different. Some of you a whole lot different. And so what are we doing? We're learning together, but sometimes we're having to unlearn. I promise you, the Holy Spirit is the third Trinity. He's the third part of the Trinity. He is God. He doesn't need to be referred to as an it. He needs to be worshiped, and He needs to be adored, and He needs to be embraced with all of the gifts that He brings. Why? Is that your word? No, it's that word. Who cares what I think? Treva doesn't. Read the word. Get the word of God does not return void. When all else is gone, we're going to be standing on the word. You know what we're going to be talking about in heaven? The word of God. Hey, sister, you know what got me through this? It's this word right here. This word carried me through. Folks, the reason my people were destroyed for a lack of knowledge. What's a lack of knowledge? Ignorant. Ignorant of what? The Word of God. You don't have to believe me. Don't believe anybody. Open the book and say, Spirit of God, show me truth. And He will. Nobody sets out purposely to deceive you, I don't believe. They were deceived. And they passed it down. And you know what? You're guilty. You're guilty of learning, but you're guilty of passing it down too. I promise you, you are. Every one of us are. It's their tradition. God wants to break it off of your life. Wouldn't it be great to go free from all the nonsense we've learned and just have truth leading us? Buddy, I'll sign up for that. Then God also, the only thing God wants His people addicted to is Himself. I don't care what your addiction is. And the Christians have a lot of addictions. It's astronomical how many Christians are addicted to porn. It's ridiculous. It's somewhere around 70%. Not of the world, of Christians. You think we got a problem? I think we got a problem. I don't think we have a problem that God can't solve. Growing up, all my life, I just thought I had to do it. I just can't sin. Can't sin. Man, I don't need to talk that way. I don't need to think that way. It was all on me. See, I thought I had to do it all myself. But that ain't true. It's the Spirit of God in us. He's the one that empowers us to overcome. So if you've been trying to do this on your own, you're exhausted. You're mentally weary because we exhaust ourselves trying to be good. That ain't my nature. My nature's a little bit smart aleck. Just a little bit. Thank you, God, I've got a new nature. Because the Word of God says, there's a seed. I met my biological father when I was 37 years old. But when I was growing up, my mom would say, you're acting just like your dad. Well, I never met him, but it scared me. Because I didn't want to be like him. Because I knew some bad things on him. But it was his DNA that was in his seed that was implanted in my mom that produced fruit. I'm trying to be as wholesome as I can. Okay, you following me? Thank you. But the seed of the Word of God, that incorruptible seed, is the sperma of God. It carries the DNA of God. Therefore, we have a new father. And that's why Scripture, I believe, says, I'm giving you a new name. Why? Because I switched daddies. And so that seed of the Word of God keeps producing a fruit in me. Right? The more of the Word that I take in, it's more of the DNA of God. And I don't have to try to become like Him. I just become like Him. Because the Word of God produces the fruit. But what if we don't take time to read it? You become a fruit, all right. You become fruity. There are people today that says, no, I just walk in the Spirit. No! The Spirit leads you by the Word that's in you. You get that? I mean, what the Spirit does so well is as I take the Word into me, then He brings it out when I need it. Even when I'm scared, He'll tell me stuff like, there's no fear in God. You're not alone. You're not facing this one by yourself. Right? There's power in you, Eric. What is that power? It's the Word and the Spirit. Remember what Jesus told the lady at the well? It's coming a day when you'll worship in spirit and in truth. Folks, it's not one or the other. That's why Christians are lopsided. You see some people that are real word-based, and you can become legalistic if you're all word-based. And if you're all spirit, you're a little fruity. I mean that in the nicest way. But when spirit and word come together, it bears the fruit of God in your life. Does that make sense? You've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. And He says something pretty neat. He says, which God foreordained before the foundation of the world. I don't know what that does to your mind. J. Vernon McGee said this. He said, the cross of Christ was not an ambulance sent to a wreck. How many times do we think that? Thank God He reacted. No, He didn't react. He didn't react to Adam's sin. It was foreordained. Now think about that for a second. If He knew that was coming, don't you think He knew you? You think He knew you in your darkness? Think He knows your tomorrow? I think He does. Therefore, I think I can trust Him. And I think that maybe we ought to say, thank you, Jesus. Man, I didn't live good, but thank you, Lord, you got me here. Amen. Amen. He said God knew before He created the world that you and I would need a Savior. There's a verse in Acts that proves this about us. Acts 17:26. I love this verse. It says, and He is made from one blood, every nation of men. So we're not all that different, are we? To dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined the pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwelling. God knew when you should be born. Some of you may think, I should have been born 100 years before I was born. No, you shouldn't. You should have been born the day you were born. God preordained that. Why? And your dwelling place. Can I just say this? We ought to thank God every day for being born in America. Thank you, Jesus. Why? The last part of that verse, I believe it's verse 27. So that we should seek the Lord and hope that we might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from any one of us. Do you realize when you were in the depths of your sin, He was there? When you had your suicidal thoughts, Jesus was right there beside you, saying, don't do that. Don't think that way. I am your salvation. I'm going to help you. See, I don't care how deep we go in sin, God is right there saying, just like He did Peter, when Peter tried to walk on the water and did a few steps, got his eyes on the circumstances of life and started sinking, Jesus said, take my hand. Don't you know that's what He told every one of us? Take my hand. Let me show you a better way. Last week we talked about how in that better way, He warns us. He says, now don't go back. Don't go. Now that sounds so simple, doesn't it? So, well, why would we want to go back to that? I can't tell you how many people I know that at one time they loved Jesus with all their heart. But instead of going forward with Him, some glitter caught their eye. And all of a sudden they thought the old days might be exciting again. And they went back. And sin is a trap. It will trap you. And it will keep you. The Bible, well, not the Bible, but the old saying says it'll cost you more than you want to pay. Right? So He says we got to go forward with God. And He says that we have been redeemed. After we've been redeemed, He says we must purify ourselves. And how do you do that? How do I purify myself? Are you ready for this? By obeying the truth. Now, since we started the book of Peter, we've been talking about the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man, and we're trying to figure out how do these two things cross. Because do we believe in the sovereignty of man or sovereignty of God? Absolutely. But do we believe that man has some responsibility? Absolutely. And those two things have to intersect at some point. Where do they intersect? In my obedience to His Word. See, He said, purify yourself. How do you do that? By obeying. But we're taught today that all you got to do is say a prayer and then live your life any old way you want to live. That's straight from the pit of hell. There's no truth in it. Going to be a lot of people that's going to go before the throne room at Judgment Day, and they're going to say, well, you know, I prayed the prayer, and He said, I never knew you. Why? Because you didn't obey. The word believe in your heart means to obey. It doesn't get any clearer than this, folks. It's not rocket science. It's so simple. We need to obey the Word of God. Do we do it? Yeah, sometimes. Do we mess up? Regularly. Is there grace? Thank God. Thank God. But I think I find people that are really harsh on themselves, and I tell them all the time, you need to give yourself some grace. And then I find people on the opposite side of that that says it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how I live. You're fooling yourself. What this world needs to see is Christians that are obeying the Word of God. Asbury is a sign to every one of us. If you think that's just about a few kids in a college, you're wrong. Asbury is for every one of us. You know what it told me? There are still people all over this world that's hungry for God's presence. You see, what you experienced right here in this first few minutes, many, many Christians never experience it. Many Christians don't know what it's like to be in God's presence, to feel the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't think we're supposed to walk in those feelings, but I love those feelings, right? I love feeling the presence of God. Now, what we should know and should do is that whether you feel it or not, He is there, so walk with Him. Right? But thank God that He allows us to experience His presence. And I pray the more that you're with Him, the more you'll hunger for Him. The evidence of this purification is a sincere love for the brethren. So, that's a good place to stop and judge yourself. How am I doing in this thing? How am I doing in obeying? How much do you love? A sincere love. It's not false. There's no hypocrisy in it. Do I sincerely love my brothers and sisters in the Lord? That is a sign that God is with you. Does that make sense? I like to know where I can judge myself. How am I doing? And then he says that we're redeemed, we're ransomed from this futility, from the way we used to think. James 1, verse 21 says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. The implanted seed of the Word of God. Today I want to, like I said, I'm not going to preach a long time, but I believe that the Lord wants to break some things off of our life. I don't have any trick bag. All I can do is follow the leading of the Word of God. And I will tell you, it makes me uncomfortable. And Jason said he's uncomfortable being up here. Well, I'm uncomfortable fixing to do what I'm doing. But I believe the Lord told me this. I want you to lay your hands on people. And I want you to pray for a break. That things are broken off of them. Strictly scriptural, folks. You read your Bible. This is scriptural. Paul says, I come to do this for you. So, it's not going to be a big time of confession. I don't want to know your sin. If we do know confession is good. And if you want to find a brother or sister to keep their mouth shut, you've confessed to them. But I won't be... If you confess to me, I won't be announcing it over the radio, okay? I'm not, yes, and Michelle is repenting of, you know, that's nobody's business but hers and God's. Not even my business, really. You know, I heard a story this week about a new priest that was being trained, and the old father took him into confessional, and he said, now I want you to hear these confessions, and the young boy was listening to all the confessions, and after it was over, the father said, son, he said, you got to think of a different answer than wow. So that probably, if you started confessing to me, my answer would probably be wow. But it's between you and the Lord. But I have come today to tell you, we've been redeemed. We've been purchased. Now, I believe God wants to deliver us. You hear me? That's what redeem means. It means deliverance. If there's a habit, a thing of thinking, traditions that you've been taught, that you said, I just need those things broken off my life, I'm going to ask you to step forward, come and stand. Treva's going to come to the piano. Sunday school teachers, if you're here, you see people in your classroom, I want you to come and lay hands on them. Deacons, I want you to lay hands on people. And I want us to pray. Come on down if you want a prayer. I didn't know if there'd be two or I didn't know if it'd be full. But I believe with all my heart God wants to do something powerful today. Now remember, this is not about me and you. This is about you and God. You and God. I'm going to start over on the left and I'm going to work all the way down. Folks, I want... Those that believe this, I want you to be praying for people too. Amen. Let's just sing one verse of that. I need it too.